5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God today. Glad you're here. Appreciate our song there. What a great song. Songs that magnify the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you look down at verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Every Christian has that problem. We want more of the Lord. That's just a fact. He said, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit." Now you'll notice he said the one that done all this wasn't us. It was God that done this. He said, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Is that right? He's in heaven, we're here. But he's in us, and yet we're in heaven. And then verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Say, we're going to follow the Lord. How are we going to do that? Well, I don't know, but God's going to tell us, and we're going to do what he says, even if it don't make sense. Amen. Ain't that something?
Right.
So what do you mean don't make sense? Well, it don't make sense. It don't have to. It's just got to be in this book, and God's got to outline it for us, tell us how it's done,
right,
and we'll just do that thing.
Yep.
Right. Listen, all you got to do is look up one word in the Bible, is. And everything that is, that God says is, it is. And listen to this. He says in verse number 8, this is what I want to look at today. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." This verse is talking about leaving this body, dying and going on, and being with the Lord in heaven. And he said that willing rather to be absent from the body, it says, and to be present with the Lord. Now, Christians, when we get saved, we want to go to heaven.
Right.
We want to be there. And listen, there's a false teaching going around that only Christians go to heaven. You ever heard that before? I want to show you something from the Bible today that will change your way of thinking. And don't cut me off before I get done. You got to listen to the whole message before you say I'm wrong, okay? But I'm preaching to you today on everybody will go to heaven. Everybody will go. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. Everybody will go to heaven. Now, this ain't like you think it's going to be, though. This ain't like Jesse Jackson where he says, by plane, train, or automobile, we'll all see in New York City. We ain't going to New York City.
That's right.
Heaven's different.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you this from the Bible, and I'll give you the last part of the title when we're done.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us. Father, we love you. God, we thank you today, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God and be alive. Lord, while we're here today, God, we ask for your understanding today and for your promise to you to help us with understanding your word. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Lord, I pray, God, that while you help us with that, you'd help me to preach this thing. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And God, please do a work in our hearts and lives and help us, we ask today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, when I tell you that everybody's going to heaven, some of you thought, well, everybody ain't going to heaven. But everybody is going to heaven. And I want to give you the three ways everybody's going to heaven. Number one, some will go prematurely. If you look over in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want to show you this in your Bible so you won't be no mistake. 2 Samuel chapter 12, King David had an affair with Bathsheba. And once that happened, something happened with Bathsheba that only a man and woman can produce, and that was a child. And once David had found out she was pregnant, and once he had her husband put away with and all this other stuff, that baby was still there. So he brought her into his house and so forth and so on. And she had the baby after they got married, and it was all kept hush-hush. Except for one thing. God knew it the whole time. And he visited upon David that sin. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 that that child got sick. And then, listen to this, the child died. And under the inspiration of God Almighty, God recorded these words in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, when David said this, "But now he is dead," talking about that baby. "Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Some people will go to heaven prematurely. You probably had in your lifetime, either you saw an infant die, or a friend of yours had an infant die, or an infant in your family's died. Can I let you in on a secret? David was a saved man headed to heaven. So he says here, he said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." The baby's not coming back to earth, but David is still going to heaven where that baby's going to be. Can I let you in a little secret? If you believe babies go to hell, listen, you are as twisted of an individual as I know. And if you think you got that out of the Bible, please, please listen. Please, please don't tell nobody that, because you are dead wrong. I don't care what theologian says it. We go back to the Word of God and the inspired writing right here. "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Some go to heaven prematurely. In fact, all them people that actually are saved that might believe such a heresy like that, they're going to get to heaven and be surprised at all the babies that are there. Yeah. Ain't that something? But notice this thing here. Some go prematurely. How did that one go prematurely? Well, it was simple. Somehow or another, listen, God chose that thing to be that way, and I'm not going to question God on how God does things, but I do know this. He done it that way. I'm going to follow him even though I don't understand it. And listen, if you've ever been there before and you've had to bury a child, that's one of the hardest things in the world. But know this, they're going to heaven. They just went prematurely. And I noticed that the outside of babies going to heaven early, there's some that go. If you look over 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's some that go, listen, they go prematurely. And they some, listen, that they not only die as an infant, but some of them die as an insubordinate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5, he says in verse number 1, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Now look at that. He said there's fornication, but worse than that, there's this. He says, "And ye are puffed up." What are they doing? They're proud about it. He said, "I'd not rather mourn that ye had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed." He's saying we need to cut out the fornication part in our churches. And he's not saying these people's lost is doing it. He said the sad thing is they saved. But watch what he says in verse 5. He said, "We do this thing because of this, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Do you believe God? You know what? Some will die prematurely and some will die insubordinate to the commands of God. Yeah. There are things in this world right now that are being driven so much by sex in this world that we are getting it in our churches. Listen, we can't even go to church and look around without having to see something sinful now. And I've heard these people say this stuff till I'm sick of it, and I'm going to go ahead and deal with it right now. I don't care if you look good in it or not. You probably shouldn't wear it if you do.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Listen, low-cut blouses, short shorts and mini skirts and all this other stuff. You know what that leads to? A sin of the eyes. Say, well, don't look at it if you got a problem. Hey, that is the problem.
That's right.
There's a problem on both sides. Amen. There's that heart of that individual that wants you to look and see that thing, baby.
Come on. Tell it.
And don't you men get to looking sideways at these women. There's some of you try to wear your shirt unbuttoned down to your belly button to show us a field of hay in there to say there's half of it's turned gray anyway, and we don't want to see that either, amen. I don't give a blessed God care what your necklace looks like. I don't care. Amen. Now notice this thing here. Some go prematurely and they die insubordinate because they get wrapped up in something they think is love. Okay. Now notice this thing. He said that this guy's going to heaven early. Mm-hmm. That the what might be saved?
Spirit.
Not the body, but the spirit.
Yeah.
This saved man's done got caught up in sin and God's done collecting on him here. Listen, some go to heaven prematurely because they sin so much, God takes them on to heaven. They never try to pursue a life of holiness, humility, honesty, things like that. But instead, they pursue a life of what makes them feel good.
Right.
Listen, don't get caught up in something like that. Live for the Lord while you can. Don't go to heaven prematurely.
Yeah.
Listen, if you die young in a car wreck, be that God's perfect will for you, not because you had to check out of here, because God had to take you out of here.
Right.
Amen. Listen. If you'll notice over in Acts chapter 5, I want to show you something over in Acts chapter 5 and help you out. We got some that go to heaven prematurely, some die as an infant, some die in subordinate. And you got to go over here in Acts chapter 5. He dies an idealist. Don't you love how God will tell people how to do stuff and then they try to figure out how to help God without doing what God said? This Bible's loaded with stories like that, and here's one of them in Acts chapter 5. They got the early church together. They've had Pentecost. They've thousands got saved. It says verse number 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. They said, hey, we sold this. Here's what we're going to give. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Now, you're Ananias. You've got this little plot together. You're going to help God. And rather than tell the truth, you told a so-called truth, which is called a lie. And you've done that thing, listen, not as a lost man lying in a beer joint or a crack house or something. This is a saved man in church.
Yep.
Now watch this. He said, whilst it remained, verse 4, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Man, pretty tough preaching there, ain't it, Peter? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Now, it says here, and they called Blakely's funeral home. The young men arose. That's what that means in the Greek. They called a funeral home. Close enough, ain't it? And it says they wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Told you that's a funeral home. That's what they do. Listen, my grandpa died. My grandma looked over the funeral director and said, make sure he's dead before you bury him. He said, I will. I was there when they said it. I can't believe it. Listen. And it's about the space of 3 hours in verse 7. He said, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now what about that? You say, what kind of church was this? Well, it had to be a Pentecostal church because two just got slain in the spirit right there in front of the altar.
Yep.
It's in the Bible, and that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Not this foolish where they flop around like a fish on the floor. I mean, this is God doing serious business with people who lies that are saved, and God sends them to heaven prematurely. So how's it been for Ananias and Sapphira? Well, all but just one thing. They're doing pretty good. Hey, listen. Did you see where they said to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? They wasn't tempting Peter.
Yeah.
Peter's already one of them guys that says, silver and gold have I none. You know, he don't care. He's not up for a paycheck.
Yeah.
But what I see there, he says this. Did you tell your husband, y'all get this for such and such a price? He didn't ask her what she sold it for. He asked the exact amount that her husband lied about. He said, oh yeah, that's it. Gone. What if I were to walk around this church today and ask you, are you doing what you're doing for the Lord? You said, oh, yeah, and I've gave this to the Lord, and I've done this for the Lord. Boom, you're out of here.
Yep.
You know what happened? There'd be great fear in this church. There'd be great fear in this community. There'd be great fear in this town.
Yeah.
One of the biggest revivals ever to hit Lawrence, South Carolina. Listen, Dr. J. Harold Smith was preaching down there, and he was preaching down there, and they had all these churches in there that the people come visit for this revival meeting. And he got up preaching back there, and there was a guy stood up on the back pew. And just, I mean, right in the middle of it, he's standing up. And he sat back down. And finally, he gave the invitation. The guy stood up, and he's looking again. So J. Harold Smith walked back there to him and said, young man, what are you looking at? He said, well, I'm fixing to go to a party and I'm hunting my two girlfriends to take with me. I know they're here somewhere. He said, sir, you need to get saved. You don't need to go to a party. He said, the Holy Ghost you need to get saved right now. And he told him, he cussed him, cussed the Holy Ghost, said blank with you and the Holy Ghost. They went off to their little party. You know how good you carpenters are? Y'all build them decks that people stand on and party on? Well, a good carpenter built this one, but a better carpenter in heaven said, boom, boom, to some of the latches under it, and them people, four of them, went off into eternity that night. They had to take the first three rows of the pews out of that church to have the funerals for those people. You know what happened? They said, my goodness, what happened to this guy? They said, what happened to him? They had J. Harold Smith for his funeral. He told them what happened. Great fear came upon people. Why? Because somebody went to heaven prematurely. You get out in that kind of lifestyle and you get out in that thing and you go running off of people like that, there's no doubt about it. Listen, they, some of your friends right now, like to get you back out in that lifestyle. They get you back out there, you may not come back. Hey, listen, some go to heaven prematurely. They get there because they shouldn't be there, because they've given their souls over to sin, and God said, I can't have that. That's got to stop. And just like this man Ananias and Sapphira, I've read this story over and over, and I found out one thing that really shocks me. They didn't have to say that. They could have just brought what they're going to give and give it, not said anything. But they come in and said, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and this is what we actually sold it for. They lied about all that stuff. Hey, be careful how you lie to God. God already knows the truth. See, some go to heaven prematurely. Some go to heaven permanently. If you look over in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, some go to heaven prematurely. Some go permanently, though. In John chapter 3, if you look down at verse number 15, John chapter 3, verse 15, it says right here in our Bible that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, underline these two words, eternal life. Those words, eternal life, describe what the gift of salvation is. It is not just you going to heaven, but it is God's Son taking up residence inside you, because He is eternal life, and when He gives Himself to you like that, He comes in and saves you, and now you've got eternal life. All because Christ is there. If you look over at John chapter 10, verse 28, John chapter 10, verse 28. This is what Jesus says. And I give unto them eternal life. Is that what He just said in John 3:15? And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I look how some will go permanently, and the way they go permanently to heaven's this. Somehow, in some way, when God saves somebody, He is the one that saves them and He is the one that keeps them. If this were based on us at all, we would never get in and we would never stay in. Here not long ago, there were some fellas talking up in Walmart to me, and they were telling me who they were and what they did and everything and how they did. They went around all these different churches, and I thought, oh my goodness. I can't just go to Walmart. I have to attract weirdos when I go. And these boys come up to me and they said, there's two of them. They said, we don't believe that you stay saved. I said, I don't care what you believe. Yeah. They said, you ain't going to get, what did they call me? You ain't going to get combative with us, are you? I said, no. I said, this is America. Believe what you want to believe. Yeah. This is America. Believe what you want to believe. Yeah. I said, but there is one problem. Just one. The Bible is different than what you're saying. He said, how so? I said, when were you born? One of them said 19 whatever, another one said 19 whatever, which means they're older people. They said that, and I said, so you were born in 19 this one, you was born in 19 this one. They said, yeah. I said, when did Jesus die? They said, 2,000 years ago. We don't know the exact date, of course. I said, no, we don't know the exact date. That's good, that's good. I said, but it was 2,000 years ago. I said, which one of your sins were future when he died? The guy looked at me, and he looked at his other guy. He said, we'll get back to you. You can't lose what's already been done. Amen. Listen, for better or worse, when I go places and run into my relatives, they still my relatives. Some of them for better, some of them for worse. Love all of them the same. But here's the deal. No matter what one of us says to the other, no matter what one of us does to the other one, at the end of the day, we're still kin. Yep. We're still brought in this world by the same family. Yep. And when you get saved, God saves sinners and puts them all in the same state. And that's the state of saved. You may sin, you may grieve the Holy Ghost, you may quench Him. But you cannot get rid of Him. You are sealed until the day of redemption because of two words, eternal life. You can listen. Every time you see the words eternal life, you can write out in the margin of your Bible, Jesus Christ, because that's the only place where eternal life exists.
Yep.
See, listen, He gives us eternal life that we shall never perish. John 3:15. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. For what reason? That whosoever believe in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. What does God do? He saves sinners.
Right.
So what if I don't want to stay saved? Tough.
Right.
There's a time when I didn't want to be a little. You know when that time was? When I got arrested. And when I got arrested, my daddy told me, he said, I'll get you out of jail one time, but you won't like it. And they said, who are you? I said, I don't know. I ain't telling you who I am. Three fat policemen held me down, got my wallet out, said, he's a little. And I thought, oh, Lord, they're going to know now. Thank God for Cincinnati, Ohio, and the traveling construction worker, because that's where Daddy was when they called. They got Paw instead. Amen and amen. Jack Robert wasn't home, but Jack Rowland was. Paw being Grandpa was more kinder, you know, than Daddy would have been about it. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen. I didn't want to be a little right at that moment. That didn't change the fact I was.
Yeah.
And there's been times since I've been saved. I know I've shamed my Lord, and I know I've not have been as good a Christian as I could have been, and all this other stuff. But that didn't make me any less saved than I was the day I got saved.
Right.
And when God saves you, listen, hey, some will go to heaven prematurely that are saved, but all of them's going to go permanently because they're saved.
Right.
I noticed that endless life we have, it said we shall never perish, but yet all of you got funeral plots and funeral plans and all this other stuff. Why is that? Because this body will go down eventually. Listen, the older you get, the heavier gravity gets. It's not that you've gained weight, the planet's pulling more, right? So when we get to that state and finally eventually it pulls us straight down and we got to go 6 foot underground and all this other stuff, but that spirit went somewhere. Why? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord.
Right.
So I think I'll sleep in the grave. I don't think you're going to sleep at all. I had a funeral one time, and there were some people there that believed you could sleep in the grave. And I told them, I said, you won't sleep in the grave. They said, why is that? I said, because God says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. What are you going to do with that verse?
Come on.
That's in the Bible.
That's right.
Listen, I see where Stephen gave up the ghost, and the Lord was there. I mean, boom, right there in Acts chapter 7. I see all this stuff, and I hear people trying to make up things around it. You can't work your way around the truth. You've got to go with the truth. And the truth is that some people are going to go to heaven permanently. They're going to get there, and they're going to get to heaven, and they're going to think to themselves, I wished I would have, but it's going to be too late. Now you're there, so now you got to do what you got to do.
Okay. Right.
So you mean there'll be regrets in heaven? Yeah, that's why there's tears in heaven. I wished I'd have prayed more for this person. I wished I'd have witnessed to that person. I wished I'd done this. I wished I'd have paid attention. I wished I'd done this. I wished I'd read the Bible. Hey, listen, you're going to heaven permanently. You might ought to get in on it now.
Right.
There's some people that's going to get to heaven, they're going to be shocked when they get there. They're going to shout in heaven, they're going to think, well, what in the world is this? Then they're going to find that silent section over there and say, what are them guys? They're in Baptists. They didn't think nobody's here but them. Are you listening to me? Hey, some will go permanently. But I told you everybody's going to heaven, right? Some go provisionally. And these provisional people are the ones found in Revelation chapter 20. This will shock you. Look up Revelation chapter 20. It's a strange thing to see this. Everybody's going to heaven. Revelation chapter 20. And if everybody's going to heaven, and I show you that in the Bible, then everybody's going to heaven, right? The Bible says this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Where is this scene taking place? Oh, it's after the tribulation. It's after the millennial reign of Christ. It's when God stops a thing and he brings everybody up into judgment that has not accepted Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he said no matter where they were, they wound up here, and there was no place found for them. So what place wasn't found? That place that was in the book of life that could have been theirs, they hadn't found them more. It's been gone. They died without Jesus. They're not getting prayed or bought out of hell. There is no purgatory to pray them out of to get them to one or the other. They are doomed at this point. They only died. Listen, everybody standing there is going to be judged according to their works, but they all died for one sin. It wasn't smoking pot. It wasn't smoking crack. It wasn't drinking beer. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't fornication. It wasn't cheating on your taxes. It wasn't speeding down the road. They all died for the same sin and went to the same place for one sin. And that one sin is this: they rejected Jesus Christ. They said no to him. I'll do it without you. I'm a good enough person. And if you don't think people believe that this day, you catch them laying out of church and say, "Why aren't you doing it?" "Oh, I'm as good as they are." You watch it, but they think they working their way to heaven, every one of them. But you find somebody up here in this judgment right here that they said, "Oh, I'm okay. I'll make it. Listen, God, away my good works, my bad works." That's the problem. All he's got to find is one bad one. See, because the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 10, if you transgress the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing.
Right.
Listen, can you imagine all these people that say, "Well, I think the Bible's just a book of fairy tales. There's nothing to all that. You people's trying to scare somebody, get them fire insurance, all this." Can you imagine having to stand before a holy God and you can't even look at him because you're so ashamed, and God read the charges out of the very book you said you thought was fairy tales, and you get a cover-to-cover reading right there on the spot, and he stops every time you did something wrong? So how long will that take? We're going to be in eternity, so it won't matter. He's going to cover every little bit of it. And you're going to find out when God gets done reading this volume I got in my hand, he's going to tell you one thing. He's going to look down here and say this: "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." See, they thought hell was bad where they were at. And they said, "Well, at least we'll get out of hell while we go to heaven." No, you won't. Did you catch that death and hell came up with them? That painful feeling of the second death and that lake of fire and that the fire that's in hell right now is burning on these people while God's judging them. Can you imagine that scene? Say, why is there tears in heaven? Because of this scene right here. You and I will be called to witness at this thing. Did you give them a tract? Did you talk to them? You say, "Well, no, I didn't." Watch closely. God's giving you this picture now so you won't have to look at it so much then. Now watch this. He said they in verse 14, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. All because of one sin. Just one. They said they could get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Whether they say they was going by Buddha, whether they say they was going by Allah, whether they was going by some other fictitious god like that, or whatever cult they were sitting in, whatever system of doctrine they sat under, whether it was systematic or non-systematic, whatever they said, they rejected Jesus Christ. And they find out at the end that was all that mattered in their life. We try to romanticize the Bible and say, "Well, I believe this and I believe that." But in reality, let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe the virgin-born Son of God came and lived a sinless life, started the ministry at 30 years old, 3.5 years later, he preached so hard they wanted to put him to death?
Yep.
They didn't put him to death for feeding the 5,000. They put him to death because of what he said.
Right.
You know what he said? It made him mad. We just read it in John 10, chapter 10. "I and my Father are one." They said, "This man makes himself equal with God." And Paul, writing in Philippians chapter 2, said he thought it not robbery to call himself equal with God, because he is God.
Right.
He came and he gave his life for you. He came and died an atoning death, because whether you want to admit this or not, that Old Testament's in your Bible for a reason. You know what it's there for? It's there to show you that God deals with every sin. If you go study the offerings in Leviticus, all five offerings are a type of Jesus Christ over there. And every one of them point out one thing: man has sinned. When we come over here to the book of Numbers, we find out people sin over there and that God revisits that sin. But the only way to get out of it is to have some kind of sacrifice to go on some kind of altar.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks don't even know where that altar was, where it's going to be, and all this other stuff.
Right.
They never caught the fact that that tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple that was built over there, those are pictures of what's in heaven. But see, at the in heaven, instead of having the Ark of the Covenant there, where that's the centerpiece, God's the centerpiece. And while he's there, he's not looking for the blood of bulls, goats, and animals. Those were a type of him that was to come, which is the Lamb of God, watch this, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Right.
And he came and gave his life and shed his blood so he could put it on that altar in heaven so that you may have eternal life where he comes to save you. And when he saves you, you got everlasting life because he don't ever leave.
Right.
And I look at this thing and I see this. Verse 15. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So I guess everybody did make it to heaven. Some went there prematurely. Some went there permanently. But this crowd went provisionally. The provision was they get judged and then sent to the lake of fire. You want to wind up heaven like that? You're going to see heaven one way or another. And I think the saddest people in the universe are the people that are at this judgment that are going to see it while they're burning up with hell and fire and death on them, going to get cast in the lake of fire, and they see God and see heaven right there. They're right there in it. Do you know, listen, do you know that while you're sitting here, no matter who you are, God can save you?
That's right.
Don't ever think you're too far gone, because if it's bothering you right now, God can still save you.
That's right.
He's in the business of saving sinners. You and I need to get in the business, listen, of watching God do that and letting God work in people's life. And I see right here plainly, listen, that one sin we got to tell them about.
Yep.
So what about all the other sins they do? Well, God will convict them of that.
Yep.
Show them where they're wrong.
Sure.
But this is the one that put them out the door.
Yep.
Isn't that something? I just showed you where a man lied and went to heaven, didn't I? Well, he had time to ask for forgiveness. No, he didn't. He was saved before it happened, saved when it was over with.
Right.
Yeah. Don't get caught up in all that asking for forgiveness gets you saved. It's Jesus Christ that does the saving.
Yeah.
It's his blood that makes you saved, not a prayer.
Right.
And not, I'll ask for forgiveness before I die. That don't save you. Yeah. What saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you want to have? You want to hear another part of the title of the message? Everybody will go to heaven, but not all of them get to stay. Jesus said there'd be few that would actually be there. Everybody's tried to figure out how this Bible ain't real, and every time they dig into it, they find out more and more. They found out over in the Middle East, they dug into this place, they found Jericho. They said, Lord, have mercy. This is what that's in the Bible. We're going to find out where them walls wasn't. They found out where they wasn't. They wasn't standing. They were pressed below the city. How'd they get there? I don't know. God said he's going to push them to the ground, and he did.
Yeah.
They weren't torn down. They were pressed down. They didn't have the machinery to do that back then.
Yeah.
They said one day that these hikers were up in this mountain. They were looking overseas, and they looked up, and they said, that's wood up there in that ice. What is that thing? And they kept taking pictures of this thing for this 30 years. Finally, the ice melted back, and guess what was sitting there? Noah's Ark. How'd that get there? That was a boat that was on water, but it's up in the mountains. Same mountain God said it was on too.
Right.
How'd that get there? They got a little piece of the wood and went and tested it. Same wood the Bible says it was.
Yep.
There might be something to this now.
Yeah, man.
And listen, they got to looking at this stuff. They said, man, they went the other day, and they in the last 10 years they went over to Israel, and there's a system of drains and stuff like that. It was up under the temple that Solomon built. And they went in there and they found something the other day, and it was a little piece of ball or something. They got it, dusted that thing off, and you know what it was? It was one of those bales that sat beside the pomegranates on the priest's garment. They took that thing and they hit it, and it would ring in a certain note. Isn't that something? So every time that guy moved, them things popped the floor. Them things was ringing one note the whole time. Just like the Bible said it would. Jesus is just who the Bible said he is.
Right.
He's the one that died for you, shed his precious blood for you, but he got up from the grave for you too.
Yeah.
So why is that? So you'd know he's the right one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people come and said they're prophets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people come and said they're God. But only one's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that's what's got to be conquered here in Revelation chapter 20. You will not conquer it without Him. If you're here today and sin's got you, guess what? He's the one that gets you out of sin.
Yeah.
In fact, when we read the Christmas story this year, I want you to make note in Matthew chapter 1, it says He'll save His people from their sins.
Right.
Listen, today could be your day.
Yeah.
You've been putting this off and saying, I'll wait. And now God's dealing with you once again. Listen, put off all that fake stuff and get saved.
Yeah.
Come trust Christ while you've got the chance. In a few minutes, I'm gonna call on the pianist to play. We're going to have a prayer. I'm going to have everybody stand. And when I do, if you need to get saved, come down here. I'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. You don't have to trust me at all. You can look at what the Bible actually says. And you can get born again and get free from all this stuff.
Amen.
All right, let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.